So, secondly, under the heading of internationalism, internationalism means, yes, having an overall identity, but it also means responding more to the particular circumstances where our movement is flourishing. After all, the world is made up of many, many different cultures, and we cannot expect them all to function in the same way or to take on the movement in the same way. We're not exporting a finished product to new countries which we expect them simply to put on like a suit of clothes, you know, off the peg, without regard to their own particular forms and local customs, even their own psychic structures, as it were. So we're taking certain principles, certain basic ways of going about things, certain ways of operating. We're taking, for instance, the primacy of going for refuge as universal. Our centres are universal. Our single-sex communities are applicable all over the world. Our team-based right livelihood businesses are applicable all over the world, and so on. But these will manifest themselves in very different ways in different contexts. For instance, in India, we have all the same principles and basic institutions, but they are very Indian in flavour, not at all English. So we therefore need to allow each region to develop a full set of the primary institutions of the movement on its own. Each has to have its own order convener, its own mitra convener, its own ordination process, and so on. Each would be, as it were, a replica of the movement in communion with all the others. So this will allow us to relate more strongly to the local situations. Indeed, this is what we really already do. We just need to make it more conscious and to develop it further. Same time, this necessitates there be very strong links between these different autocephalous regions, these different regions with their own institutions. Otherwise, divisions will open up, and eventually schism will occur. There need to be exchanges at every level. People just need to be visiting each other from different regions of the movement. People need to go and live and work in different regions of the movement for a number of years. Even some people need to move there permanently. There needs to be a constant dialogue and exchange between all aspects of the movement, so that we have a common medium of exchange. Banti has emphasised the use of English, since this is widely accepted as an international language. But I think it's important to recognise the significance of that. Not that everybody will be able to learn English, and not that they'll be excluded from participating in that exchange because of it. On the subject of visitors to other parts of the movement, I should mention that the Indian chairman have asked us to announce that they're now happy for Western visitors to come to our centres in India. You know that because of recent difficulties, especially bad publicity and possible public reaction, we thought it was best that people kept away from our centres in India. The Indian order members thought it was best that Westerners kept away, not because they wanted us to keep away, but because they felt it was dangerous. But they now feel that that danger has substantially passed, at least for the time being. It may recur. And they're very happy indeed. They said this, they stressed this, to have Western visitors. However, they asked that we stress certain things. First of all, that visitors should not just turn up at a centre. Indians are extremely hospitable, and if somebody turns up, they'll drop everything and look after them. And it may be to the detriment of whatever else it is that they're doing. You don't really realise when you turn up in an Indian situation that people are completely giving themselves up to you, that they just drop everything and look after you. So you don't want to be a burden on them. So please contact them, write to them, ring them up, and make an arrangement before you go. Not always very easy, I have to say. But just because you don't get a reply doesn't mean that you can just go. It could be very inconvenient for them. I should also stress that if you do turn up, you should not engage in public activities. You shouldn't give talks and that sort of thing. You're technically in breach of your visa, and it may cause difficulties. Also, finally, most importantly perhaps, Westerners need to be very sensitive to local Indian custom. We should exercise great decorum of dress and behaviour, and we should be careful especially of how we behave in relation to members of the opposite sex. And I do advise you to get advice on these matters before you go. It's not that Indian order members won't understand. They know that we've got quite different customs and a quite different sort of cultural context. They're well familiar with that. Poor people, they've had to get accustomed to it. But the problem is that others outside the order and movement may react, and they won't react to us, they'll react to the Indian order members. So if we don't be sensitive in this way, we may simply be causing a lot of trouble to our Indian brothers and sisters. So, though we are very welcome, and that's very much stressed, we need to exercise quite a bit of caution in the way in which we go and make sure that we do contact them. But, yes, we are welcome, and it is very necessary, very important, that there are these sort of exchanges, that people do get an experience of the movement, whether they're all over the world, whether they're friends, mitras, or order members. Apart from unifying the movement through visits and exchanges, the Preceptors' College and Council developing as one means to unify the movement. In a sense, it already does that. By keeping dialogue going between senior order members in each region. At the moment, most of the members of the College Council are British, or at least naturalised British, but we certainly hope that before very long there will be College Council members from other regions of the Order and Movement who will be full members of the College and Council. This, of course, is going to be extremely important, that senior order members are in very good communication with each other, even though they come from such varied situations which may have somewhat different approaches to the Dharma and to the movement. Finally, the Preceptors' College itself will remain unified, and it will be very important that there are strong links between public preceptors, as there are now. As we introduce new members, we will be doing so on the basis of our strong personal connections with them, and we'll make sure that those connections are maintained. And we very much hope that there will be public preceptors from other cultures before too long. And we will continue, as we do now, to work very hard at our personal relationships with each other. And in this way, we'll help to unify the movement, and we'll ensure a common understanding of and standard of ordination.